The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Tuesday, September 24th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today. Today, I want to have our conversation themed. I guess who I thought was coming in did not come in, but I you know you always have to have secondary conversations when you're a talk show host. Always be prepared. It's like a Boy Scout, or that's Girl Scout, or Scouts. Always be prepared. So scouts in general, I always got to be prepared. So that's why you have to have these books and you write down topics just in case you need to have a conversation impromptu. Mm-hmm. The conversation today is two themes, right? I'm going to ask Aaron Green to question, am I like Trump?
You mean you personally?
Me.
Not me.
Me.
Okay.
I don't know if you like Trump.
No,
but
you
am
said,
I like Trump? Me.
Are you like him?
Yeah, similar. Similar. Am I similar to Trump?
Okay.
Let me put the wording better.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because of my views.
Okay, because I was going to say.
Because we don't look alike. My hair is not orange.
Yeah.
Yes. And I'm gonna tell you why.
The tan is close, but.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we both dark. I'm going to set up a scenario, and I want you to analyze that to see if I'm like Trump, or should I be, am I able to be concerned because of bring up. That's one. Then my next topic. I think it's a themed Tuesday. My next topic is signs and wonders. Signs and wonders on whether there's going to be a snap election before 2026. This, it could be sometime in
That's
2025.
What you meant when you said signs and wonders?
Signs and wonders.
I thought we were talking about the unit in Ministry of Works that produces signs.
That's a wonder right there.
But we wonder where they are.
Yeah, no.
Okay, not that.
We don't even have license plates in this place, this country.
Yeah.
Everybody driving dirty nowadays.
No, listen, on a housekeeping note, if you are awaiting your plates, please contact Road Traffic Department because I've seen several notices asking drivers to come and collect their plates.
Did they say all plates
Saturdays.
Are available or particular plates are available?
There was a large swath of plates. It was a huge number of plates that were finally available.
Mm.
When I spoke to someone who didn't have a plate on, I said, hey, you know, you could go get your plate. And they said to me that the way that their procedure is set up, that the company that they bought the car from is going to
collect
the plates and then call them to come get the plates. So I don't know if there's been a hold up in that space, but if you are awaiting a plate, don't wait for a call, not from this government. Call Road Traffic.
These answers for me.
Go there.
Then you have to join the line.
Park your car on the side and
then
walk
join
in.
Join the line and wait until you get called to ask the question. Just to ask the question. My plate ready yet?
You still can't let that be a barrier to you.
Especially if you could be there from 9 to 5.
Practicing common sense.
Especially if you could be there from 9 to 5.
Then you send a note to your boss.
That you need the day off.
Right. And the employers should be petitioning the government. The employers should be saying, hey, what is going on here? Why am I losing employees for an entire day just to pick up a plate that should have been readied when the car was brought in to be licensed?
And you believe the government will respond to the employers?
They respond to some employers.
Who employers they respond to?
Frankie Wilson.
We can talk about that soon. But let's go and start my conversation.
Yes.
The other day, I, C.A. Nuri, was driving on Howard Road. You know, parts of Howard Road is Howard Road and parts of Howard Road is Tonic Darling Highway. Two different street names on one street.
Now, hold on. Isn't it the what we call the Milo Butler Highway roundabout? Doesn't that demark the ending of Tonic William Darling Highway? And when you go west beyond that roundabout, that's Harold Road
yes.
to the JFK
But few people
roundabout.
Know that.
Okay.
That Howard Road starts at the roundabout going towards west.
Well, from
or
Milo
north,
Butler
whatever.
To the first JFK roundabout
yes.
at the end.
And before that, it's Tonic Williams Dylan Highway.
Right.
So at the Harold Road
portion.
Portion. right? There's a new fruit stand. There's a new fruit stand. It's nice. The fruit stand is on the main road, so it doesn't look like it's on government road, right? Because you could drive up on the side of the road. It has glass. It's glassed in case. It's air-conditioned, refrigerator, lighting, fluorescent lights. It's a pretty
They're running on solar, or they connected to the PL system?
Okay. I have no idea.
It has a lot of
There might be a generator in the back, or whatever it is, right? That is owned by an immigrant.
Now, you certain?
No, I certainly owned by an immigrant. I'm not even going to say what the immigrant is.
Yeah.
But it is owned by an immigrant. I have no problem with that. But I believe me, the CA Nuri. So that's why I'm going to ask you, am I like Trump? Certain cottage industries, like fishing. I'm not sure if you know that only for Bahamian fishing, only Bahamians can be on the boat fishing it. That law is passed with Michael Pintad. I thought it was strange, right? Because if you have a permanent resident or citizenship, you should be able to fish on the boat.
But if you have citizenship, then you are a Bahamian.
But you're not allowed to be on the fishing vessel.
No, but if you are...
If
you have citizenship...
You're still not allowed to be on a fishing vessel.
No, because if I have Bahamian citizenship, then I'm a Bahamian and I qualify to be on the boat.
You were here when I had the interview with Paul Malis, and he was talking about this in detail. You were here when he spoke about it. You're not allowed to be on the boat.
If you are a Bahamian citizen, you can be on the boat.
No, what do you call it? Naturalized. Not to use the word naturalized. If you're a naturalized citizen, you're not allowed to be on the boat. That's what the Dominicans were suing for, saying that we married now. I need to be on the boat.
No, they may have been married with...
citizenship.
No, with permanent residency. They could have been married with the right to work, right? A work permit, right to reside, right to work. That doesn't mean that they're citizens.
But my point is, they still can't be on the boat, even with a right to work.
Right. I'm just making the distinction. Once you become a citizen, you're a citizen, and the things that are open to citizens, you are now you have access to.
But we can always debate that.
No problem.
Later on. Okay. Let's go back to my people who have the fruit stand, right? There's now a proliferation of high-end fruit stands, all foreign-owned. It's a franchise now, right? There's one on that Howard Road. There's one on Carmichael Road. There's one on Gladstone Road.
Mm-hmm.
On government land. So even on private land, you could do anything you want to do on private land, right? Because I could say, hey, the people investing, they open up a business. But when you're making permanent structures on government land to compete against Bahamians,
right, because what I know is when you get a temporary vendor's permit to sell goods on, like, the side of the road, you're supposed to get a police inspection. They're supposed to come in and determine that the site is suitable for the type of traffic that you may attract, type of trade you're doing. But one of the rules, one rule is that you must be able to pack up your entire enterprise and leave no sign of your presence.
That looks like on a permanent structure.
I got you. Bang.
Right? And this is my issue, right? Because I know every so often the police come and do raids. They tend to run the rastas them from by the mall. What road is it? Marathon, who's being serviced, selling things.
And Robinson Road.
And on Robinson Road. And then also on that highway, too. They tend to say, you can't be here.
Right. But that's a health and safety issue. People should not be standing in lanes of traffic. As a driver, my duty is to prioritize pedestrians in the road, right? Even on the highway. Pedestrians should not be crossing the highway at any point. There are points where you can cross the highway. They are at the intersections, at the lights, right? But you as a vendor now want to stand in between the lanes while I'm driving. Sometimes you...
Like the traffic cop?
The traffic cop also should not be standing in between the lanes.
But let me continue my scenario.
Yeah.
I believe certain cottage industry should be for Bahamians.
Yeah.
Right? I believe that when you see Bahamians, and especially these are, I'm not sure the correct word, these are bottom of the end, these are hustler work, right? When you see Bahamians are trying to find themselves employed by doing hustle work, street vendor, that thing that Jamaica called igloo work. If they're doing igloo work, I don't believe...
Higgler.
Pronounce H.
I'm from Habakkuk.
Yeah. If they do the igloo work, right?
Yeah.
I don't believe they need to be competing with foreign people when they're doing Higler work. That's my concern. And I want to know, am I like Trump if I pronounce that, I say it out loud, that the people that need to leave just for Bahamians. This industry, this Carter's industry is for Bahamians, not for people who emigrate into the Bahamas. You need to find yourself a job. But okay. This hustle work belongs to Bahamians.
Well, first of all, do you have the right to work?
But just giving them granted to say they have the right to work. Because if they don't have the right to work and police is not stopping and say, hey, where your work permit and such and such and such. Because we know they're clearly immigrants. We know they're immigrants. I'm not disputing
that. That's not in question.
In question. Does the police have a duty of care to say, hey, hello, Mr. Immigrant. I understand you're here, but do you have the right permits to be competing with Bahamians? Or is that a racial question to ask people who are clearly not Bahamians that you cannot be competing with us?
Okay, so first thing first, is this particular space selling fruit or roadside vending in general?
They're selling fruit. They have their own...
Right, but I'm saying... Roadside fruit vending, is that an industry that is protected by law for Bahamians only? If it's not in law, right, then we say, well, why are police stopping? Are there inspectors? Are there individual state actors whose job it is?
And I don't know. This is why I asked the question right now.
No, I got you. So if there is a law in place that this industry is protected, it's a cottage industry, only Bahamians should be involved, then the police officer could reasonably, after observing a number of migrants working or after observing behavior and activity that suggests that a migrant is the owner or is in charge of this business, right? It would not be unreasonable for a police officer to inquire further.
We know that we have spaces on New Providence. Mm-hmm. You go to Cowpen Road, where the entire sidewalk is now owned, commandeered by groupings who have used it to sell their wares. They're seeing fruits and vegetables, signs. Police pushed back at one point in time and for whatever reasons.
What was brought to the public domain is that a number of the vendors that are Haitian migrants have not set up their stalls on government land.
On government sidewalk.
No, well, the ones I've seen, I think they've been pushed off the sidewalk. And so now there's this big, huge, broad sidewalk and the vendors are behind them. You're saying that they're encroaching on the sidewalk.
Get on the sidewalk. You go shop there now, you have to stand on the sidewalk.
Well, I can be honest with you.
As they set back onto the property.
I don't have an expectation that police officers that ignore cars parked on sidewalks in front of schools, ignore cars parked on sidewalks and on pedestrian crossings in front of churches like St. Matthew's Anglican Church on Church and Bay Street, that I don't expect them to expend any effort in having vendors move their goods off the sidewalk. They have no respect for pedestrians and people who need sidewalks.
So long and short, my concern, and I see the caller coming to you right now, am I like Trump? Do I seem to have racial views, anti-immigrant views, that I am concerned that certain jobs, certain industries should be for Bahamians?
Okay, watch this. I think for the less critical thinker, they may easily perceive you to be like a Trump, despite carrying on like a Trump. But for the critical thinker, I think once you start thinking about it, you realize that these are valid questions that are not driven by xenophobia or racism, right, or a classism, that these are real questions. If there are industries that are supposed to be protected for Bahamians, who is responsible for enforcing said protection, right? And that's a valid question to ask. I say in that as somebody, a Bahamian who tried to set up a booth on Montague Ramp and was basically told, you are of a class where you don't need to be here, and quite frankly, you come in here as just hogging up space for people who really need it, right? And so if there are rules, police the spaces. If that means that you're going to pick up some migrants who shouldn't be working in that space, then you pick them up. But then what happens is, right, this information isn't just held by police. There should be a system where this information is then disseminated through the various ministries, right? Because now you say, well, look here, we have these immigrant parents who are raising kids that may or may not have a right to be Bahamian, who may or may not apply for Bahamian citizenship, who were born here. This issue actually impacts people who are Bahamian or may be Bahamian, or as soon as the court rules, they acknowledge or recognize their citizenship, right? And so it's a critical conversation. We need to have it, and you raising the issue doesn't make you like Trump.
Let's go to the caller, but there are a certain set of people here in the Bahamas who prefer to ask for forgiveness instead of asking for permission. They ask for permission for nothing. They're going to do it.
Are we talking about politicians? Or are we talking about the House of Assembly? Or are we talking about migrants?
They will do the injury and say, oh, sorry, I didn't know.
You're talking about politicians.
Let's
again,
go to the caller.
Let's go to the phone line.
Go ahead, caller. Welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Of course, it's CA Nuri.
Good.
Go ahead.
Morning, Mr. Nuri. Morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning.
Morning, sir.
I smile because I see Mr. Nuri pushing a protectionist environment where certain industries are reserved for Bahamians. And while I may not agree, I believe of the administration or the government is. However, I listened to him describing the stalls that he has come across, and he indicated or he described them as high-end stalls. And so I have two comments related to that. One is, I've not seen a Bahamian high-end stall, and so it begs the question, why don't we have stalls that meet a certain standard? Why do we have to look like street vendors on the side of the road and foreigners can come in and do it better than we do? And then the second point I have is regarding immigration status of the people at the stall. Mr. Nuri has confirmed that he has information that the owners or the people at the stall are foreigners. Does that mean that he has information that the owners of the stall are not Bahamian and those persons working in the stalls are just migrants? You don't have to be on a work permit to be a migrant here. You could be married to a Bahamian and have a certain type of status. We do know that we have a lot of Bahamians married to foreigners as well. Could it be a Bahamian-owned business with a foreign worker? And what authority would a police officer have to go to that stall and shut it down or ask the workers to leave? I'll hang up and listen.
And I appreciate the question. And again, certain cottage industries made for Bahamians, naturally born Bahamians. It's just what it is, right?
No,
let me finish this point, right? And it could be subjective. I think that our government has a duty of care for those who born here in the Bahamas, for their survivability, right? There was a debate about the fish fry ones, saying the fish fry are shacks. These are shanties. They look too ethnic. Hold on. They look too ethnic, right? That they need to be bulldozed all together to make it look more, like how the gentleman said, more modern, more foreign. It shouldn't look Bahamian at all because there's no place for a Bahamian concept
that looks...
You remember the conversation?
I remember when Arawaki was supposed to be temporary vendors only. When you say it changed, it suggests that there was a policy rationale, right, presented or produced, that there was an announcement made, that the procedure had changed, and that this space is no longer only open to temporary vendors who are required to pack up and leave at any site at any time. I mean, the fish fry, let's be honest, fish fry is a mess. What happens if you have guests upstairs in one of those second story levels and the building collapses?
I assume they built a code. I just assume they built
a code. What do you mean you're assuming that they built a
code?
Because
you can't construct a building without building to
where?
Right into the Bahamas.
Where?
Right into the Bahamas. You can't do it. You just can't do it. Everything is built to code. You have to get permits. They have permits out there. My point is, fish fry was changed or is changing because Bahamians see foreign or foreign concept as being superior to anything that looks natural to us, right? They don't want the roadside vendor to say, okay, this is a Caribbean nation and that this is the look of it. They want us to be more Americanized. And to see how the Germans said, but look how attractive it looks.
But that ain't what happening out there.
That's what attractive it looks. So I can hear the foreign people coming here to say, we can improve upon this and move, because we have access to more money. I will run and move the Bahamians out of this industry at all. Don't worry about them. Their survivability is not important. We can put in the air condition because we have the air, the money. Rasta don't need to put a stall here and sell mangoes. He need, if you want to compete with me, he needs to put have a refrigerator. All our lives, we're getting mangoes on the side of the road, not needing to be refrigerated. But now we want cold mangoes, right? Saying, no, this is better. But we are displacing our own selves in the attempt to become more American, in an attempt to becoming more first world, in an attempt to be...
See, that's where...
And see, that's a concern.
That's where I stick a pin. Because I don't think it's an attempt to becoming more American. It's an attempt to make more money with spending less money. That's all. Yeah. Because we're not modeling... Hold on, we're not modeling American concepts out there.
No.
I mean, it's been a while since I've been to Fish Fry, but I could be honest with you, it looked like under Tobacco Dove arms.
If you go to the Fish Fry, it looks just like the Marina Villa. Village.
No, it doesn't.
You just need to go to the right store.
I don't see cars park up all on the grass in the middle. I mean, hold on, pause. You have an entire, this is the point here, which is why I'm telling you, it can't be that they want it to be more American. They just want to make more money. Because if they wanted it to be more American, they would have ensured that the visitors to the site park their cars properly.
But they have a huge parking lot.
They do, and the people don't use it. They use the grass.
There's no grass there. What grass are you talking about?
In the field.
No, that's when...
To the west of the police... No, that's
when there's no more parking and they premiums parked there.
No.
Everyone wants prime parking. No. They park in front of the parking.
On the grass, on the sidewalk.
You don't park on the grass on the sidewalk when the parking is available.
Listen, they do. They do. I'm not arguing with you on this. They
so
park
you're saying,
on the grass.
You're saying behemoths
prefer
to park on the grass and the sidewalk when there's ample parking and available parking
in
there.
The designated parking lot.
And you're saying there's available spots there, but they say, man, the hell with available spots. I want park in the grass and the sidewalk.
There are spots in front of the buildings.
Yes.
And then there is a massive parking lot.
And that's people park there.
An auxiliary parking
area. And
areas
people park there.
Straight from Fish Fry all the way to
and
Junkanoo
people
Beach.
Park all of that.
That parking is not full, and people are parking on the side. Listen, how the audacity of parking your car on the sidewalk next to the police station is still not as audacious as the police officer that looks out, sees those cars parked there, gets out of the police station, and walk up and down Fish Fry and hail up everybody like 85 people ain't breaking the law.
Yes, that's my concern. And my concern is whether I am Trumpish in looking out for behemoths in the long run, especially making carving out spots and spaces for their survivability that 5-10 years from now that they are able to survive instead of having competition and being closed down, run off and say, well, this is no longer available to them, but it's only available to a high-end foreigner base. I am concerned that that will happen to behemoths in the future, and there's a spot for us, and the conclusion is, behemoths lazy. And then you say, but I was out here hustling, and you all pushed me out.
No, so
right with my $10, and I said I had $10, and I buy water, I put it in the cooler, and you say now I need a refrigerator.
See, some behemoths are lazy, not all.
We talk about that. Don't talk about them. Just talk about the ones who aren't lazy, who are out there hustling. Just talk about them.
The ones who aren't lazy are being taken advantage of by the ones who are lazy.
And my goal is to defend the ones who aren't lazy. Let's only talk about the good set. See, we always demonize the behemoths when we are talking about people we're trying to empower.
When it becomes Trump-esque is when you put the blame on the migrant despite what critical analysis brings to the surface. And what critical analysis brings to the surface is migrants can only do in our country what we allow them to do.
Yeah, of course.
It's obvious that some Bahamians are enabling or empowering migrants to go beyond the scope of not just the legalities, but the social contracts involved, which is, if you want to come and live with us, you cannot compete with us to our own detriment.
See, come right back to come full circle to my initial point. Certain things they're supposed to know. And, you know, I'm here with the behemoths, but certain things I should not do because I'm an invited guest here. I'm going to thrive here, but I'm understanding that I should not be in direct competition with the native population because their survivability means my survivability. And if I shut them out, therefore, I should not be able to survive here. Someone needs to be looking out for behemoths. But let's go on to my signs and wonders.
Let's finish through the text, and then we transition. Our first text, the Dominicans didn't have citizenship. They had spousal permits to work. That's the boat issue. Text says, this type of practice ain't for no one. Get a business license. Like, you're supposed to fine them $10,000 or 6 months in jail. That's a deterrent. Aaron, you need to ask. Aaron, I would question why you want to set up shop on Montague too, since you came from QC and been off to England. I say leave that industry for the lower socioeconomic class. Let me tell you why I wanted to set up shop there. So that I could build a cooperative with other workers on the dock, and we could begin turning fish waste into fish fertilizer, which is extremely valuable in the agricultural world, as well as collecting a number of what we call refuse products from the marine industries to be able to generate sustainable businesses for people marginalized from employment, like myself. That's what I was doing there. And since I live in that area, I figure I, as a citizen, should have access to public infrastructure like everybody else, eh? Yeah. Another text that says, you need to ask what happens if a fire breaks out on fish fry. All those stalls would be gone. Thank you. Text, an important point. Another text. I think this massive import of low-skilled poor laborers is extremely dangerous, and the clause in the Constitution that allows the right to register as a Bahamian to be revoked needs to be invoked immediately and backdated 18 years. Another text. Text, you caused me to clear my throat. This is not the look of a Caribbean nation. It's the look of chaos. This shantyization started in the 2000s with the introduction of phone cards. Before that time, we had very strict rules about setting up ramshackle structures and selling anything from anywhere and putting up signs anywhere. Marina Village is what Arawaki should look like. Organized every day, they keep ramming more shanty boxes on Arawaki and adding another odd-shaped room to an existing building. The 2000s, phone cards, Mr. Newry. Do you know, you ever read Freakonomics? In Freakonomics, they have a chapter that explains why most people selling half bags of cannabis live in their grandmother's basement. The economics of selling cannabis. Well, when phone cards were introduced, it turns out that you could get a better profit margin from selling phone cards than from selling half bags of cannabis. And so that prompted people to set up shacks all over the place. And I have a feeling that perhaps the tremendous profits being enjoyed opened up an avenue for tipping police officers for ignoring the law as it pertains to shanty structures. Anyway, the 2000s were a fascinating time. The phrase is phone cards selling better than drugs. And a lot of people were able to hustle a second income, a tertiary income, and for some people, a primary income just from selling phone cards. It was amazing. And Mr. Newry, you ready to talk about your signs and wonders?
Yes, signs and wonders, right? Is there any signs suggesting that there's going to be a snap general election in the Bahamas? Right?
A what?
Snap general election. Early. Called. 2025, not
2026. That was a fluke, man. That was a minutes fluke.
That's why we're analyzing my signs and wonders.
Okay.
And I'm going to list the signs, which means election soon come.
Okay.
And if that's the signs which say election soon comes, that means election is pending.
Okay.
Okay. Let's go one. Right? Has there been anyone from leadership who is on a let me write it down, doing a direct progress report on their administration? Is that happening? These are signs that election is coming. A complete media blitz. That's what I'm asking. Just yes or no?
Has anybody come to the Guardian yet?
I don't know.
I heard word.
They might have their own TV station, or they made their own private, whatever it is.
So this new show with Clint Watson?
That might just be coincidence.
Where he interviews policymakers?
That might just be American coincidence. I'm asking, is these are signs that election is pending. But listen, I want to know if that is happening.
Okay. So you've created an environment in which you avoid the media, and then all of a sudden a new media entity, I can call it an entity, right, pops up. So we have this new show where Clint Watson, the general manager of Bombs Broadcasting Corporation, or is it ZNS? He's the general manager of. Nuri?
Go ahead.
Clint Watson is the general manager.
General manager of the local government-sponsored corporation, ZNS.
ZNS, not Broadcasting Corporation. I'm making a distinction.
No, there's a chairman of the Broadcast Corporation, which is parliamentarian.
And general manager of ZNS. The general manager of ZNS is hosting a new show, which I think is solely focused on interviewing policymakers.
I guess so.
That's what you mean, media blitz?
Is it a media blitz or not? That's what it is, I'm asking.
Well,
is it now being reported in the news? Is it now reported on print and media, response of whatever?
Last week's Newsweek started with the PLP announcing their three-year review, right? It started with them having a church service.
That's a different thing. I'm asking if election is pending based on these signs.
Well, no, but I'm saying that I was expecting a media blitz. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen one yet. However, perhaps that ZNS has created a show solely for the purpose of interviewing policymakers. I would allow you to call that a media blitz.
Okay, so we can move on. All that to say, is it a media blitz? The next thing, is there any declaration of projects saying that either it's pending or an announcement that this is now being implemented? Is that happening at this present time?
Okay, I don't know. However, what I do know is a familiar phrase has started popping up in the public discourse of politicians, which is, we're going to need another term to fulfill all our promises. We're going to need another 5 years to complete all our plans.
So you're saying that you've noticed political jargon suggesting that election talk.
Right. So not speaking to any specific project, but suggesting that all of these things we're doing, we're going to need another 5 years to complete them. We need another term to see them to fruition.
Have you seen a proliferation of condensed scheduled signings with international projects happening in the Bahamas, and I signed one contract signing here, the next day another contract signing there, and the next day another contract signing there. And again, if that is happening, is that signs and wonders that there is an impending general election?
Okay, yes, I've seen that. The signing of loans and agreements and things, but we just see a story about it, right? We don't have any. I haven't seen a proper professional public engagement, press statements, space for consultation, follow-up questions, where the government announces that this is specifically what's in the table. Airport-related loans, et cetera. I think there's a bridge loan out there somewhere.
It's all a part of election narrative. You don't get detailed information. You get announcements that these things are pending and these things are happening, and then you see the signing, and then you see shovels. Are you seeing that? And is that a sign and wonder that the election is pending?
I've seen signings, and I've heard word of shovels being dropped into the ground and being dropped into the ground soon. Perhaps, yeah.
Is there an increase of cosmetic fixings, like temporary fixtures of certain things that was being long plaguing? Nothing substantial fixings.
Work underway to address concerns at CV Bethel, Minister says. Because y'all knew when the school year was going to open. You knew how long school would be closed for. Traditionally, we have a problem with the schools. You made it seem like you did an excellent job, and here we are, 23rd of September, with the minister having to address serious concerns at CV Bethel School. Does that fit your thing?
That and other things. What about temporary employment? I know that the what are Youth Guard?
National Youth Guard.
That has been announced. You see, it's going to media blitz. And now I expect we'll see, because we don't know what the UGOD plans to do, but I expect, have you seen them being deployed in various places to have temporary employment? Say, well, these people we find jobs for?
Not yet. However, I did speak to a member of the National Youth Guard who, when I asked him, like, what, you know, what you like about what's going on, and a little auxiliary conversation, that they were most impressed with the skills building opportunities, the things that they have learned, the things that they've been taught in their training.
Who pays them, or they don't get paid?
I have no idea.
Do you think they should get paid?
I think they should get a stipend.
Stipend. Stipend and pay is what? Different?
Yeah.
So if I get in 200...
When you employ people, you pay them. When you have people engaged in a program, you stipend them.
If I stipend them with $260 and I take a note VAT, not VAT, national insurance, is that a pay? Because, you know, $260 is a minimum wage. Is that a pay, or that's a stipend?
And they taking out...
We got it. If you're giving NIB? You money...
They taking out NIB?
If I'm giving you money, you got to get used to paying NIB. Suppose you get sick. If you get sick while you're there for a year, 2 years, you don't expect to get benefits?
Yeah, no, employees pay NIB.
And you're saying people inside this program get a stipend?
NIB shouldn't be removed from stipends. If NIB is being removed, then we should regard it as a paycheck, which means that they are employed workers.
Mm-hmm.
Which should also...
So in the meantime, let's say they're not getting a paycheck, but getting a stipend.
Yeah.
And this stipend's going to last for a year, 2 years of stipends.
Yeah.
And you are now, this is your only source of employment. I guess you're getting skills.
It's
a school. It's a schooling.
Yeah, skills building.
It's a skills building. You just get stipend. I don't know. I just don't know.
We need more clarity on that. Because then it suggests, could this be just a scheme to draw in new voters? Like, I'm so happy to be a part of a vehicle that helps me move forward, right?
Mm.
That I'm prepared.
What's the end goal, objective of it?
Well, I thought that the end goal was to have a volunteer service that is available in time of natural disaster, calamity, or national security.
When you say skills building, I thought that normally be soft skills, learn how to answer a machine, answer the phone, photocopy and customer service.
National Youth Guard, right? If one of the primary aims is to be available to support RBDF in hurricane recovery.
Take out phones. Learn how to do it properly. And photocopy.
You do that at Bahama
and
Host.
Filing.
You do that at NTA, National Training Agency, and Bahama Host Program. This is to teach these young people how to tie knot and how to winch knot and how to secure boat and, right? How to change tire on the fly, because you are in the midst of the eye of the storm. You've been tasked with moving people from location A to location B, and you're all on the road and the tire fall off, and then all the young people, we don't know how to change no tire on no heavy vehicle like this. You're teaching them how to operate the vehicles, how to maintain the vehicles, how to fix the vehicles on the fly. You're teaching them survival strategy. You're teaching them all these things.
Sound like we need to bring them on to find out exactly what they're doing now, post the program. Because you know the program already finished in terms of the initial training. Now they are deployed to do something.
Right. It would be great. From the interaction I had with the individual who was involved, they are not just enjoying it. They feel accomplished. They feel like they're growing. He feels like he's becoming a man, more of a man. He's learning the things that man and adults need to know to navigate an archipelago like the Bahamas.
Has there been a proliferation of job hirings in government agencies, like mass hiring, like in customs, immigrants? It's all again signs and wonders that elections is pending. You know, has there been a proliferation of people saying, oh, I joined that immigration squad, or I joined that police squad? And say, man, we just had one last week.
I don't know.
No, I haven't noticed that.
I haven't seen any announcements recently of recruitments.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen that at all.
Has there been a proliferation of new radio and talk show programs to explain the government, various government initiatives?
We addressed that at the beginning. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Has there been a proliferation of cleanup campaigns? And all these are signs and wonders that an election is close. I'm wondering, has there been a proliferation of cleanup campaigns, national cleanup campaigns, national volunteer campaigns that they ask in Bohemians to come and join.
I've seen more and more, but I will say this, the constituency area I live in, the team there does such a great job, right? That on a regular basis, that just in my immediate surroundings, I couldn't tell you if there was a cleanup or not because these guys are on the ball all the time.
Has there been a proliferation or changing of small road contracts? People who tend to clean, I mean, sure, works there, who clean side roadsides and then paving, stuff like that. And then a proliferation of government home fixings and fixtures of dilapidated houses and such and stuff like that.
I don't know. I haven't seen evidence of that. However, I have seen more teams on the road doing things like cleaning drains. Not necessarily patching or paving, but I have seen some spots that have been patched, separate from roadworks projects that, you know, they're trying to return the road to its original state.
I was in a discussion the other day about Bay Street flooding.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it's an educated person, right? So they're exposed. Let's say it's standard, yeah. Right? Their conclusion is that the Bahamas is under the sea level.
Below sea level.
Below sea level. And that there's nothing we can do with the flooding on Bay Street, right? No matter how much we clean the drains, it will always flood because of how we are situated in terms of landform, limestone, et cetera. I told it was a cop out.
Of course, it's a cop out. Did they know that before? Like, did they know that before Nassau Cruise Port was created? Did they say, hey, there's nothing you're going to do to stop flooding, so anything you do is only going to exacerbate it? Did they, in their profound wisdom, did they say that?
It seems that we can't fix it. That we're just complaining for complaining.
No, we don't want to fix it. We don't care to fix it.
And we're going to take a break here. Right now, we're doing signs and wonders. Signs and wonders that is happening now, that seems to be happening now. And I'm asking, is this any indication that an election, a general election, is pending? Has there been, I got access to you next when we come back. Has there been any political parties announcing that here are my candidates in advance? When we come back, this is Guardian Radio AM. I'm having a conversation with Aaron Green. We're talking about signs and wonders and wondering whether an election is pending sooner than we think. Not 2026, but sometime mid-2025. We'll be right back.
Jump into your Japanese import and you turn the radio on. All you hear is... For the month of September, the Hit Spot will install a band extender in your Japanese import for the discounted rate of only $79.99, VAT included. Get your band expander installed today at the Hit Spot and listen to
Star 106.5.
Plus, get fresh news and smart talk on
Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Are you tired of the same old 5K runs? Want something more? Then get ready for the Chickchawney Challenge City Run on September 28th, starting at Crypto Wild. Test your strength, stamina, and spirit. It takes all of you to dodge, climb, conquer obstacles as you race through the heart of the city. Lace up and get to the Chickchawney Challenge City Run. Register now on our website, chickchawneychurn.com, or on our social media pages. Brought to you by Kalina, Island Yogurt, Advantage Insurance, Art of Graphics, Crypto Wild, and Guardian Radio 96.9.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. Of course, this is C.A. Nuri as we talk about signs and wonders, whether there is going to be a general election by what is happening now in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
Before we get to the text, what you said right before the break, the question.
Yeah.
Regarding
political parties, like third parties. Is there a proliferation of third parties announcing that they have candidates and that they are prepared and ready to contest a general election?
COI is a proliferation.
They have candidates yet?
Yeah, they had a whole candidate announcement event. I think they announced the first half of the slate, possibly, yeah. I saw Graham Weatherford in a suit.
Graham Weatherford is wearing suits?
Yeah.
And he's a candidate of the COI?
I will tell you, I imagine that that's the only reason why he was wearing a suit.
Hmm. And COI plan to contest this general election? They'll make it that far?
They're going to contest.
I always appreciate the donation, and it helps. It helps.
Yeah.
Anyone taking them seriously, though?
Yeah, man, plenty of people taking them seriously.
In this Bahamas?
Yeah.
Where are you speaking?
You know, my concerns with the COI is that a displeasure with what you see in front of you is not sufficient. That's not the only thing that you're voting on. Has the COI created sufficient internal systems to be a real and viable political party?
I didn't even know they're still open. But that's good to see that they're still surviving.
Yeah.
Who's the leader now?
Still Lincoln Bain.
Still?
Yeah.
They had no election to vote him out?
I mean, they had election.
And they didn't vote him out?
No.
Okay.
I'm concerned about their strategy. Right?
And they have a strategy too?
I think that they think that fielding 39 candidates is the only way to show the Bahamian public that they're serious about this. And I think a better strategy would be to break the country down into larger districts and focus on securing one seat in a district of the archipelago. And combine your resources as opposed to spreading them out over 39 seats. This insistence on spreading their resources out over 39 seats suggests to me that they are a plant.
And not a caucus. One thing we got to appreciate that Bahamian people has a culture, or have a culture.
Yeah.
And we have a strong political culture. We do our politics a particular type of way. I see there are a number of people suggesting that the entity, the FNM, the entity, the PLP, is a spiritual or a social construct, like put on a persona. And my point is that these are made up of Bahamian people.
Right. Okay.
And the Bahamian people drive whatever persona you try to personificate on these
political leaders are using historic, like I would say, what we remember of the party in the past. Like they're using a historic identity to draw people to a party that is fundamentally different, right? But also think about this. The leaders, for many people who are still alive today, the PLP has a personality that's larger than the characters that are leading it right now, right? And so that is that we are the PLP. We are the enders of apartheid in the Bahamas, right? The FNM have a similar personality that they are the slayers of the PLP. And they are ended the oppression of the PLP 25 years, right? I tell you, where I live, the first time Ingram won, and I hear these gunshots right outside my house, I went out and my elderly Caucasian Bahamian neighbor lick off 5 shots for her shotgun. When I asked her what was happening, she said that's a shot for every term that Pinlin held us in oppression. Right?
People believe that Pinlin held them in oppression.
Listen, that's not the point. The point is
brought it up. I was cool.
Yes, people believe it. The point is that the FNM has an identity for some people that's larger than the characters that are leading it right now, right? And those people are relying on this sentiment to garner support and maintain people holding on to the party. These two entities need to create new identities, because we are now moving into generations of Bahamians who have no link to that history. They care not about that history. And their families who are invested in that history have not been able to impart to them that identity, right?
You drink soda?
I mean, when it ain't flat, when it ain't flat, no. When they selling me soda in my own country and it expires in the same month we in, no.
What's your favorite soda? Just asking.
It's a mix between ginger ale and sea grape soda.
Sea grape soda.
Yeah, I remember when them boy used to make sea grape soda and dilly soda.
Yeah. All so the reason soda. Why I say that, right, because the PLP and the F&M are like Coke and Pepsi. These are brands that you're used to because they have a history, right? Mm-hmm. And then these upstart is like them juk-juk sodas. I don't like the taste of juk-juk sodas.
But you know what's happening? This is what I'm telling you. What's happening is them traditional sodas, they ain't soda in anymore. Like, I got people telling me, Miss Green, you expect too much bubbles in your soda. And I'm looking at them like, what do you think soda is? And so those other sodas are becoming more and more appealing. In fact, I make my own soda now. What do you think I was talking about with sea grape soda?
Okay. Let's go back to the text. Let's read these texts in the record.
But I love that analogy. Mm. You need to continue with
that. I ain't drinking no juk-juk soda. I just said.
Well, it turns out you ain't drinking no soda.
That's because so, I drink so water.
Get a grip.
Go ahead.
Are we not laughing at
them? I say you're laughing at
me. No, I'm not laughing at you, sir.
I'm diabetic now.
I'm not laughing at you. Soda. No, I'm not laughing at
that.
Got
diabetic.
You caused me get beaten, man.
Yeah.
What about the vendor at Government House? You mean that little triangle?
Which has been approved by Ministry of Tourism to be where he's at.
How could Ministry of Tourism approve it, Mr. Nuri? Ministry of Works, the Ministry of National Security and the police supposed to approve it. The booth constitutes
the point, it blocks your vision.
It's a barrier to clearly entering the road.
It has
Ministry of Works and Tourism can't approve it.
It's still approved, though.
Ministry of Tourism cannot approve it.
You are saying they can't approve it, and I say then approve.
They don't approve the process.
But how come it's approved? You are talking about the tail end, and I say the conclusion is being approved. The structure itself.
I'm telling you, I do not believe.
It has been approved.
I know that it has.
See, that's what I want to get into.
But it shouldn't be approved.
That's a different question.
From the moment I saw Government House workers, the people remodeling Government House, jump over Government House wall to go buy things from the vendor right there, immediately after the killing of the Marine on Government House property.
Mm-hmm. Nonetheless.
Hold on, have you ever, your light turned green? And you go, and then there's a car who run the light over Cumberland Street, but you couldn't see him because of the booth and the plant.
We gotta go. The man have approval. This Guardian Radio AM, the man has approval.
Trump say he have approval too.
Have a wonderful day.
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.